This is Jessie Reyes with the brand new album Before Love Came to Kill Us.
Hello, I'm Gemma Kearney, and I'm back for a brand new series of Sorry Not Sorry, brought to you by Galaxy Chocolate, a podcast helping you take the time to actively choose pleasure. This week, I'm joined by the eternally stylish Jo Elvin, former editor of Glamour magazine and current editor of the Mail on Sunday's You magazine. What does style mean to you?
Fashion is such great fun. There's no such thing as in or out of fashion anymore, really. It's like you do you.
Want to hear the full chat? Yeah, you do. Subscribe to Sorry Not Sorry now on your favourite podcast platform.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels! Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Socarellis.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay? Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers,
she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Nancy, cease and desisto. We will, Jason Rockland, you.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
We love you guys.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to this very special episode of Tiger King. Now, we recorded this episode. This is the first episode of the Tiger King season. We recorded this for our bonus feed over on Patreon, and we decided, hey, we're going to do this whole freaking season. So we're putting the first episode up here on the free feed. And if you guys want the entire season, we're going to release the second episode this week and then all of the new episodes next week. So we're just going to have a big marathon month of Tiger King. So if you want all of those will be up on Patreon on the premium feed. We're also doing videos all season for that. So this one doesn't have a video, but the next six will. So if you want those, sign up at the Crappens on Demand level over on Patreon. Okay? Thanks, y'all, for being here. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the bonus episode. I'm Ben. That's Ronnie.
Point.
We're here. We're here to talk. How you doing? How you faring? How's life?
Oh, good. Great. Great. Everything's great. Everything's great. Everything's just going great over here.
Everyone stay safe and sound. Have you made anything? We're all right now, by the way. It's, if you're listening to this sometime in the future, we're right in the throes of coronavirus. So we're all hunkering down. It's a time of cooking strange things with what you got in your pantry and watching lots of TV. And I did both of those things last night. I really made a delicious pot roast. I know you're not eating meat these days, but it really went so well, and I'm so excited by it, Ronnie. I put in like a whole bunch of veggies. I followed Ina Garten's lead, put up a whole bunch of veggies and red wine and random shit like miso paste and cinnamon. And honestly, it was delicious. It was a delicious pot roast. So if you guys are thinking about what can I do with a big piece of meat that you got around, I highly recommend doing that. Just
well,
throw
congratulations
in that
on your delicious murder. I've been working on garden burgers. because, listen, I love a garden burger. And I was like, well, hey, it's time to learn how to make them because, you know, we're inside. So I haven't quite perfected that yet, but that's what I'm working on food-wise.
Have you gotten close to it yet or no?
Yeah, I made a really good one, but it wasn't perfect. But it was pretty good. I used mushrooms, just raw mushrooms, put them in the food processor. And then garlic, cumin, garlic powder, some spicy stuff, some paprika, and chickpeas for the bean.
Mm.
And then some onion. And basically, you do all that, and then I added some flax and chia seeds. It's really good for you. They'll thicken anything up. And then made them into patties and baked the shit out of them. They were delicious.
What was I going to say? I'm a little nervous about experimenting during this time because I don't want to, like, make food. You know, make food that's shitty, right?
Oh, well, I still eat it. Like, if it's shitty.
I mean, I still eat it too, but I kind of, like, don't want to, you know, it makes me nervous to improvise. I'm like, I have this big piece of meat. Ooh, I hope I really don't ruin it because, you know, if it turns out really bad, for instance, it's like, I mean, I'm really not trying to throw anything out right now, but if I really, really mess it up, I don't want to, like, accelerate when I have to see, when I have to go to the grocery store again.
Yeah. Well, one of the people I'm most grateful to during this time of experimenting in the kitchen, because that's the only way I cook, because I'm too lazy to read recipes, is the maker of sriracha, because
yes,
that will mask anything. And I got that bad boy with every meal, baby.
Yeah, sriracha really fixes. I've actually been putting sriracha on everything, which I know it does not sound like a huge revelation in the world of, like, home cooking, but I really have been throwing it on really everything, and it has fixed some of those, like, mediocre meals.
Yep, it'll mask anything, baby. So anyway, today, one of the good things is all the Netflix we're watching. Last week we did a Love is Blind recap, and this weekend I've been watching Elite as well because I love that show. It's so stupid. I cannot stop watching it. A new season of that came out. It's a teenage soap opera, basically. Ooh. It's dubbed over, so I don't know if you'll like that or not, but I don't mind it. I'm used to it. And I think it's from Spain. And it's a really good show. It's so stupid, and I just get hooked because it's like a mystery show.
Oh my god! Know? Oh, I'm totally. If it's like a I'm into it. I mean, you said it takes place in like a school, Elite.
Yeah, a private rich kid's school.
Oh my god!
And
yes.
They let four or five poor kids in a year as part of their scholarship program. So it's like how the poor kids interact with the rich kids.
That's like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, and so I've been watching that, but I've also watched HBO because Westworld is back, one of my favorites. I love that show, and I've been watching this new one called The Tiger King, which has been really big on Netflix, so we thought, hey, why not cover it?
Yeah, Ronnie sent me a text and said, we should check out Tiger King, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to come from a place of yes, because why not, right? And, you know, I like tigers, I like kings, so why not? So, yeah, Ronnie said, let's check it out. So, you know, we both watched the first episode, and, you know, we're here to talk about it.
Yeah, here we go. Tiger King, episode one.
So for those who don't know, by the way, it's a documentary. It's a limited series documentary. I think it's about 7 episodes, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. It's a true crime. Obviously, a true crime because it's a documentary. But yeah, that's what it is. It's not an ongoing series. It's just this crazy, crazy thing. I don't even know where it's going, but it definitely had me cracking up. And also, like, in shock. Like, I could not believe what I was watching. Not because anything shocking happens, but, like, it felt like every 5 minutes on the show, they'd welcome a new person that was just more bizarre than the last.
Well, we open with the kind of main storyteller guy. The documentarian's name is Eric.
Yeah.
But he's talking to this guy who's kind of like an outback Mr. Furley from Three's Company.
Yeah.
He's very like Don Knotts. He's got big old eyes, but he's got this black hat that looks just like Mr. Furley.
Yeah, it's like Don Knotts auditioned for Crocodile Dundee, didn't get the role, but just like held on to his audition look. And is like, okay, well, I'll tell you a different story then about tigers.
Yeah, he's got like a full ashtray in front of him at all times. So there's like some weird little diner with wood paneling. He's like, ugh, this guy, let me tell you about the Tiger Man.
We find out later his name is Rick. But he mainly goes by his last name, which I don't remember. We'll just have to find out when I get to his name in my notes.
Yeah. And then we cut to another guy with tiger pelts everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, animal people are nuts. All right? They're all kind of half out there.
Yeah. And then there's like a guy in a red shirt who may or may not be the same person. Because at this point, there's like so many faces. I didn't know who
they
were.
Yeah, there's tons of faces here at the beginning.
Yeah. Because it's like a documentary. So they're going to throw everything at you to get you excited. And then later on, we meet these people sort of more slowly. But right now in my notes, I just had red shirt. And basically someone goes, the monkey people are crazy, but the big cat people are backstabbing pieces of shit.
A decade-long feud comes to an end. Yeah. And then we get a guy with prosthetic legs. No, because aren't prosthetic legs... I'm ignorant.
Well, meaning that he's... they're prosthetics in that it's like an attachment. But basically, like, if we're being really ignorant, it's basically like... it's basically like peg legs, if we're going to say a totally insensitive way. I can't think of the right word. That's the closest. They're not obviously peg legs. And I obviously would not. It's very problematic to say that. I'm not really trying to say that. I was just trying to. They're basically. It's not like he has an Aviva Drescher legs attached, but it's like the metal. Right.
Yeah. 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 Because he lost his legs, basically. Yeah. And he's got like insane clown posse. legs this or like big like, big clowns on his legs or something. That's the only reason I'm
this documentary.
Like, wow, clown legs. That's something I haven't seen before.
This documentary is basically like, what would happen if juggalos owned tigers? That's basically the premise of this documentary.
Yeah. So he's like, well, it's not every day a zookeeper goes to prison for murder for hire. And then we see this is a prepaid call from Joe. Joe.
I know. A new Joe in jail for us. And he's like, you know, they threatened me with 79 years. And this guy, Joe, he's got like this mullet. It's like blonde on top, then brown, then blonde again.
Yeah.
It's like a Neapolitan.
In jail, he has like a webcam or something, like a prison cam or something while he talks on the phone, but it only shows his eyes and above. And he's got these crazy chola jail bangs, like prison bangs.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, what is this?
It's not unlike watching Joy Behar on The View these days, since she's Skyping in and she's like has a terrible connection, so they'll be talking and then she just busts in and she's like, yeah, but what and Bernie, what about Bernie? You're like, quiet, Joy.
We find out about tigers. There are more captive tigers in the world today than there are tigers in the entire world. And then we see Governor Kasich on the news saying, you wouldn't believe how many sheriffs told me there's a guy down the street who's got a tiger. And they don't let him go. They feed him with milk bottles. Look at all these people feeding tigers with milk bottles.
Yeah. And then we hear things, Tiger King. And then we see that Joe Exotic was accused of trying to murder Carol Baskin. We don't even know who Carol Baskin is, but already just hearing the name Carol Baskin got me very excited.
Yes. And then this kind of like hard copy lady is like, long before he was indicted, Joe Exotic made great TV. It's like a tough talking reporter lady who I'm sure we're going to hear a lot from later. And right now, one of the bleached blonde guys, he's not Joe Exotic, but he's describing him to us. He goes, Joe Exotic, he's a completely insane, gay, gun-toting, drug addict fanatic.
Which is true. It's like, imagine if Dog the Bounty Hunter cared more about tigers than bounties and was gay.
Yeah. I just thought, what a great log line to sell your documentary. Completely insane, gay, gun-toting, drug addict fanatic.
I'm like, is this an improv class? Is this like an exercise we're supposed to do?
I'm into it.
Yeah.
So, that mullet, wow.
It's like stringy and flat and really uncompromising. Mm-hmm. So it's a, like the episode, I think the episode's called Not Your Average Joe. And then it goes, Florida, 5 years earlier. Like, of course it starts in Florida. Of course that's where we begin.
Yes. Was there any doubt?
Yeah.
And the first shot we see is a lion statue,
mm-hmm.
or a tiger. I don't know, I'm dumb. I'm just going to say lion, big cat.
and it looks like it's stalking something. And then the camera pulls back, and there's this flamingo statue that the big cat's about to eat.
And then we see these, like, two guys hauling out this enormous 23-year-old snake. Like, this is the promise that Felicia had.
Yeah, I not stabbed household. Her with a shot on accident. And we meet Eric Good, the filmmaker, and he's like, when I started this project, I had no idea it would consume 5 years of my life and get as crazy and violent as it did. I was investigating a notorious reptile dealer in South Florida. And then, of course, the snake dealer's like, well, here's how you drain venom. Look at that. It's a whole martini glass full of venom.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, check this out. I just got a snow leopard. And he, like, opens up a van, and there's, like, this beautiful, gorgeous snow leopard in a cage in the back of this van in the sweltering heat. And someone's like, well, do they need to be refrigerated? And it's like, no. Not if they're acclimated to Florida. They're fine. You know, snow leopards. It's like, it's called a snow leopard. This poor animal.
My God.
First of all, no one has ever acclimated to Florida in the history of Florida. So that's already a falsity right there. It is not acclimated. If we can't acclimate to it, this animal can't.
Yeah. And Eric's like, it blew my mind. What is a snow leopard doing in the back of a hot van in Florida? And that's what set me on this journey. I was like, wow, Eric is a very curious person. Like, he's definitely in the right job. Like, I will now make a documentary about big cats in the back of vans.
Yeah. Also, by the way, Eric kind of annoys me. Okay. I sort of never really trust documentarians that put themselves into the movie. And then on top of that, he's sort of like this smug guy who's like walking around. There's like a little bit of like poverty porn going on here with him, but he's definitely kind of like, I'm like, you know, Eric, you know, it's like, settle down, Eric. We don't need as much of you in this.
So we start seeing shots of billboards, like the world's biggest cat park. Yeah. And then Joe Mullet walking around his cat park. And then we see see him sitting on his couch with a zebra blanket and a little kitten, little tiger kitten.
Yeah. And Eric's trying to get Joe to take off his cap for the interview. And he's like, no, I don't want to take it off because then your audience will say, oh, my God, that guy has a mullet. I'm like, you know that the mullet does come out from behind your cap, right?
Every day people say you must have the most incredible life living with 187 big cats. I started this in 99, and in 16 years, this is what it's grown to. Paradise!
Yeah, and he's like showing his grounds because he basically has built this enormous like rinky-dink zoo situation. And he's like, believe it or not, this used to be a completely empty field. I'm like, I actually do believe that. That's not a really shocking revelation.
It's like literally still an empty field. with some chain link.
Exactly. It's like literally it's a field with random tigers in it that you've penned in.
He's like, he's giving a show for little kids. And he's like, does it feel good to stand on stage and have people envy me? Of course.
And I look at these tigers. Look, they're so affectionate. They just love to be loved on. And no, that's not me projecting some sort of anthropomorphic thing onto an animal. No.
Yeah. And Eric's like, are those two trying to mate? He's like, oh, come on. They're two boys. Not that we discriminate here. Got it, Eric?
Yeah.
And then we see Greater Wynwood Exotic Park. And he's like, you get close to tigers and lions here, you get closer to them than anywhere. You might get urinated on. And if so, we sell shirts at the gift shop that say, I got peed on at Wynwood.
It also comes in underwear form and sex jelly. So then we like start meeting some of the people who work at this park. Like there's a guy, I think, named Eric Cowie, who is like the head keeper. And he's like, yeah, I was pretty much at the end of my rope. I was down on my luck. I didn't really have anything going on. I ran out of meth, and I was either rob someone, get some jail, go to jail again, or I saw this listing on Craigslist, and I thought, hey, I could be a zookeeper, so here I am. Zookeeper.
Yeah, he's got like long rock hair, and he's like, I found this shit on Craigslist, and I was like, fuck, shit, never seen this shit before, fuck. Now I'm doing tiger shows.
Yeah. So then we also meet John Renke, who's the guy who has the two prosthetics, and he's talking about how he got involved. And basically, it's like a circle of misfits wind up working at this jail. And for a moment, there's almost this like sweet spin on it. Like, you know, it was like this is a haven for people who didn't fit in anywhere else. But that goes away pretty quickly.
Yeah. But you call criminals to work for you so they can't tattletale.
Okay. Yeah.
So then Kelsey, the staff, I wrote staff Safari. I don't know what that means. But she's like, yeah, you know, Joe's the star of his own show. He's just a born entertainer. You know, meeting him in person, like, that definitely, like, solidified that. So,
yeah.
And then we see that Joe is also a country music artist.
Yeah, he just wants to be a star. And so he has, like, a music video, and that he would film everything all the time. Like, he just always had a camera running. So, yeah, gives us this, like, unprecedented amount of footage from all this shit over the years. And he even has a live TV show that he does in, like, a shack every night at 6 o'clock on, like, joeexotictv.com or something like that. And this is where we meet again, you know, Furley Dundee, and his name is Rick Kirkham. And he basically, Rick Kirkham is a guy who is a producer slash reporter for places like Inside Edition and some local news things, etc. And he was brought on to help Joe Exotic TV.
Yeah, because this guy just basically films himself doing everything.
Yeah.
He's got cameras everywhere. He's like, they show him eating lunch, you know, or he's like vacuuming. Or it's like, hey, here's me with a weed whacker. That's right. Weed whacker. So Joe's like, yeah, you know, Rick Furley is like, yeah, you know, I'm one of the producers of Joe TV. He never had more than 80 people watching that thing live. But when I walked in, I had all this experience, national reputation. And then we see that he worked for Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Back and Bill O'Reilly's like, wow, Rick is nuts. What was he on, A Current Affair?
No, it was Inside Edition. He used to be the host of Inside Edition back in the day.
Oh, geez. So, yeah, he glossed it up and got real titles and a green screen and all this good stuff. And then he's like, God, and every night was about animal rights and Carol Baskin.
And that's just like this montage of like, Carol Baskin wants me to eat yogurt, and I don't like yogurt. Carol Baskin.
Trying to ruin my life, goddamn Carol Baskin. And then we cut to Carol Baskin, and she's everything you'd think she would be. Like, the biggest cat lady of all time, you know. She's like, hi, I'm Carol Baskin, the founder and CEO of Big Cat Rescue, the largest sanctuary in the world for big cats. And immediately I said, bullshit, lady.
Yep.
You're full of shit, lady. I don't believe you for 2 seconds, man.
She goes, if there's one thing I know for sure, it's that big cats don't belong in cages. And meanwhile, the entire rest of the show, anytime we see Carol Baskin, she just has tons of big cats in cages.
Yeah, tiny little cages. Horrible little cages. I mean, at least at Joe's, they can walk around. Hers are like little, teeny, tiny, like crate-sized cages.
You know what? I thought they were teeny, tiny also, but it turns out that was like the feeding cages are small, but then the regular cages are big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I thought the same thing, too. I was like, fuck this. But then I actually like looked, and I was like, oh, okay.
Well, the worst part of this is she's like, one thing I know, and then she's in a cage, like holding the bars. Cats don't belong in cages. So it's like, you're full of shit, Carol Baskin. So Joe's like, yeah, I'm just minding my own business, doing my own thing. When I open a paper and see Sanctuary or Murder House. Like, basically, yeah, Carol started raising all this ruckus about his place and naming him in the newspapers and coming after her. And he said, her plan is to make people think we're abusing tigers and then run us all out of business.
So then we go down to Florida, of course, where Carol is. And so Eric goes to meet up with Carol, and they like, Eric and his people, they're like, they drive up, and she approaches the car, and he goes, oh, and she's dressed perfectly. Which again is like, it was funny and accurate what he said, because what we see is that she's like in this flowery top with this like flower child sort of crown that she's put around, like that she's wearing on her head. It's like a very 1960s hippie sort of thing, like band around her forehead. And it's just like so ridiculous. But I also think there's something that's so like smarmy about the documentarian actually saying, oh, and she's dressed perfectly. I'm like, let us do that as the audience. Like, you don't have to do that. You know, I don't know why I'm so angry at him right now. But she's perfect. When she comes out, she's just as like, just trying to push forward this image of, I'm just like a sweet lady of the earth trying to help all of God's animals.
And her budget Vanderpump flower crown. And Carol's like, "You want me to? You want me to get down so you can get the cat in the picture?" So she kneels down and she's like, "This is Matsuwadi from Ohio. He's gonna get nasty with me. Watch out!" And the cat's like, "Bah!" Like it hates her. The cats. This is another thing. The cats hate her guts. Okay,
they hate her.
Which with Joe, they don't seem. They seem to really like Joe. Like he can actually get up close with them and stuff. And her, they're like, "Bah! We're gonna kill you!" She's like, "Okay then. Well, you know." Wow, they'll hurt you. So they go from being nice to wanting to rip your face off in the next minute. It's amazing, really, cats. Wow.
Yeah, she goes, "I don't read the newspaper, and I don't watch news on television unless it involves cats. So I have a very limited amount of knowledge that I have that I take in.
I live and breathe saving cats, and I know that if I keep trying, I can win in the end. We're just fixing a problem that they're creating, you know? They're breeding cats for cages. A tiger needs square footage. And the reason we have them in cages is to provide them a safe space to live until they die." Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give, like, a little bit of defense to Carol, which is, like, her tigers are in captivity. But she's not like doing selfies with them. She's not having all sorts of people touching and petting them. She's not like exploiting them in that sense necessarily. But yeah, it's a fine line. It's a fine line.
But she totally is exploiting them.
I bet I said in that sense. I'm not saying she's not exploiting them in other ways.
Yeah. So then she's got like a callback to Real Housewives of Auckland, where there was a cat lady who. Yes. Had tons of cats that had passed away, and she had them all in boxes, right? What was her thing? And each one of them had like a card or something that she had written, and there's like 100 names, so she'd be like, "And then there was Azalea. Azalea, I'll always remember your one fluffy ear and your one flat ear. Oh!
There was Itsy Witsy. What a lovely cat she was. She only had 3 paws, but she always knew where to urinate, just so."
Yeah. So she does that, basically. She shows all of her dead, you know, cats. She's got like a big mausoleum or something for the cats.
Yeah, it's like a path. It's like a winding path of cat tigers we have known.
"That one tried to bite off my face." She was cute. Cats. You know, cats.
So she's like, "You know, I grew up, you know, the very first photo of me is with the family cat. And I loved cats. I actually didn't have friends. My friends were actually 2 imaginary white cats."
And then she's like, "Actually, I'm allergic to cats. So my house is tile and, you know, there's no curtains, that sort of thing." What?
And everything is cat print. Like everything. Her luggage.
Craziest lady.
She is crazy. Her lampshades, everything is cat print. And then sometimes when she goes to, you know, state capitals or the capital to lobby for legislation, she's like, "I wear head to toe cat prints. That way people remember me. They remember that, like, I'm the one who fights for cats." Like, no one's gonna take you seriously dressed in leopard print, you know, testifying in front of some sort of Senate subcommittee.
Yeah. And then there's Howard, her husband, who just follows her around like a dope. Like, he's right behind her at every second. And she's like, "Are you following me again, Howard? Would you just like to lead?" And he's like, "I think it's fair to say Carol is the Mother Teresa of cats." And she's like, "Oh." And they kiss.
And you know what? My friend just told me a few weeks ago that Mother Teresa was actually apparently, like, not the best. She just really exploited unhealthy and poor people to make herself look great. I don't know. I have to fact check that. But if that's true, that does track with this in this comparison.
And then Eric is standing in the closet while she's talking about all of her cat clothes. And she's just trying on everything for him. This lady's so cuckoo. She's very Grey Gardens, you know, where she's like, "And then I have this robe." Like, I feel like she's the t-shirt on your head, ma'am.
I feel like she's someone we would, like, somehow become friends with in a weird way. Like, somehow she would just be in our lives, and you'd be like, "Hey, Ben, can we record a little bit later? I have to go to Carol's house to help her, like, install a light." I'm like, "Why are you still hanging out with Carol, Ronnie?" And you're like, "I'm sorry. I just did. I just have to."
I have so many Carols in my life. It's insane. And that's coming from a real place, because, you know, I've complained to you about the Carols. I'm like, "Oh, geez."
And then I would scold you for giving Carol too much attention, but then I would wind up going to Carol's place and playing with all our cats.
Like, oh, I get Carol now. I get it.
Yeah, and then you'd be like, but you told me not to hang out with her. I'm like, well, no, Ronnie. It's just you have to, like, draw boundaries.
So then we're in Joe Exotic's gift shop, the Tiger King gift shop. And it's barbecue sauce with tigers, sex lube.
Skin cream. He's like, but what sells the best is my Tiger King underwear. And he just has all this, what's the right word? I want to say exotic underwear, but you know, like under, like sexy times underwear. They all have like his face on it.
And Eric's like, do you wear them? What's your favorite kind? And he's like, I don't wear underwear. I've been on the I've been on the cover of Hollywood magazine twice, and I've done two albums. This one's called I Saw a Tiger, and this one's called Starstruck. I'm like, by a tiger? Stay with the theme here, Joe.
I know, and then we see his music video, and he's like, I saw a tiger, and now I understand. I saw a tiger, and the tiger saw me.
And it's like, look, there's Joe's head popping up above some grass. He's like, you better tell the hunters, lie down their guns. And then the model in that music video. It's just such a Hollywood story. It's like, of course, he fell in love with the model from his music video.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the
and
model's name is John
Finley.
John Finley. And in the music video, he looks okay. Like, he looks sort of like he kind of like missed the boat for international male. Not with body-wise, but just style-wise.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Then we see Joe Finley nowadays, and he's just like shirtless with like patchy body hair and missing a few front teeth. He's got these nipple rings and these like nasty tats. It's just like,
yeah, just sitting there all dirty and toothless and methed out of his mind. And he's like, when I met John, I was straight out of high school. It's like, whoa. When I met Joe, I mean. And he's like, yeah, we were together for about 11 years, and he showed me love, and I learned how big my heart was. And I was like, did you start stealing money for meth? Because that's where I see this going.
I know. Have you seen how big the gap is between your teeth? Yeah. Have you seen that? He's like, that's how much I cared about Joe Exotic.
Oish.
So then Joe tells us that when his dad found out that he was gay, that he had to shake his dad's hand and promise not to come to his funeral, which was sad, very sad.
Yeah, and he tried to kill himself. He drove off the bridge and broke his back. And then when he went, you know, he lived, obviously, because he's alive and the star of a documentary now. But when he went back to Florida to do his physical therapy, he had a neighbor who was the manager of the safari, and he would bring home the monkeys to bottle feed.
Yeah,
that's where it started.
Yeah, because the animals were sort of like therapeutic for him. So that's when he was like, he's like, oh, I love this. This is great. I want to get into it. But then he's like, so he sees the therapeutic beauty in these animals. But the animal rights people keep saying I can't have these tigers.
Oh my God! Well, you can't just keep breeding them. Like, what the hell, dude? Yeah. This movie's so crazy, my God.
It's crazy.
Because they naturally kind of get you on Joe's side, right? Because he's like wacky, and it seems like he's nice. He's got such a sad story, and he's so passionate. And but then you're like, well, what are you doing? Like, you're just breeding. And then later we find out they breed these cubs because you can really pet and be around a cub and make a ton of money off of them until they're a few months old. But then they grow into be huge killers, you know?
Yeah. And then on top, and he almost, you know, I'm almost on his side. He's like, you know what? Because if you hold these animals and you just like have a connection, you're going to think twice about certain things and you are going to want to do things like save the rainforest. I was like, you know what? He is right. But then Carol later on is like, yeah, but what happens is people love these cubs. They get the cubs and then they get a tiger and they're like, what do we do with a tiger? And then they have to come along and save it. So like, I'm like, yeah, that's bullshit too. So, meaning like, people are stupid. That's what it is. People are
stupid. Well, this show does have a lot in common with the Housewives show in that you just cannot pick sides. Like, the best thing to do is just watch it and enjoy it and just not pick sides because you're going to be proven wrong no matter which side you pick.
And then it turns out there's even a third side to this because it's not just Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin, there's a guy named Doc Antle who is in South Carolina. And Doc Antle is like the slick, media trained, I feel like he's going to be the ultimate villain in all this. He's another big cap reading dude. His name is Dr. Bhagavan Doc Antle. And he has this like long blonde hair and this blonde soul patch. He sort of looks like a little bit Mario Batali meets the painting that comes alive in Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, and he's like a total showy kind of narcissist kind of guy who's always slick, bossing everybody around. And he's bossing the crew around. He's like, all right, so we should get the shot like this. You want me to go over there so you can get this shot? That's how we could do it. And they're like, yeah. Back down, buddy.
Exactly. And so his operation's called the Myrtle Beach Safari, and he is the director of the Myrtle Beach Safari and the Rare Species Fund. So there's just something really slick. Like when he even says that there's a fund, it's like, I don't trust that there's any money going to any animals anywhere.
Yeah, tax shelter. And he's that kind of person. He's like, my name is Doc Bhagavan, Dr. Bhagavan Baba Doc Antle. It's spelled B-H-A-G-A-V-A-N.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy.
Because we learn later on that he sort of had like a, sounds like a little bit of like a Wild Wild Country side like chapter in his life. Did you ever watch Wild Wild Country? I forget.
Uh-uh.
Oh, well, it's about this crazy, it's about this cult with Indian origins in, was it California? Well, not California, it was Utah. Anyway, so this, basically Doc had gone to be in like a yoga retreat or yoga commune of some sort for a few years, and that's where I'm assuming he got his name Bhagavan, because he's very white.
Yeah. And he's like, and that's where it came to me, let people be free with tigers.
Yes. So we see him at his wildlife safari, and there's like a group of people who've assembled on bleachers, and he enters on an elephant. And he's like, this is my little girl Bubbles, everyone. Welcome, say hi to Bubbles, the elephant. And the whole operation is just like very, compared to Joe Exotics, it's like much cleaner. It's just much more presentable. It feels like a place that doesn't feel like you're going to get killed in necessarily.
He's like, these animal rights people just want me They want me destroyed because I'm the forefront of the guy who loves big cats and has them loving back. It's like, oh, cats like me best. Ooh.
And meanwhile, one of the people that works at his company, like they have people like sitting around, and then there's like a lady who's dressed a little bit sort of like dominatrix Indiana Jones-ish. And she has like this cat, and they're all sitting around. The cat's just lying down, and she's like, "Look at this! This is what the cat does." And then she just starts dragging the cat along the floor.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he thinks this is a big drag.
Yeah.
And so, then Joe's been sending spies over to Doc's place to find out how they can steal ideas and get a bigger operation.
Yeah. So then back at Joe's place, this is when he starts talking about how he was inspired by Doc Antle, so he started allowing people to touch and handle these baby tiger cubs because it'll allow them to be more connected to them, and they'll want to like conserve them more, etc.
Yeah, and then there's a fan over at Doc's who's like, this is our second time this week. I mean, $650? Who cares? I got to touch a baby tiger. I'll give it to him every day. It's like, feed your family, sir.
Yeah, okay? Please.
So then Doc is telling us how it costs a minimum of 10 grand a year to feed each tiger. And then cut to Joe, he's like, I can feed a tiger for $3,000 a year. Like,
yeah.
Oh no.
And then we watch someone like butchering a cow, I felt bad for you having to see that. I
mean, that's so gross. It's like, why did I say we should watch this? It's just like cow legs and cow. There's just pieces of cow that they're slaughtering, and they're getting roadkill and shit because they're poor, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. And Doc Antle's like, you know, this is, he also says about like touching the tigers and stuff. He's like, you know, this is a really important cause because it'll cause people to open their hearts and their wallets for worldwide conservation. It's like, oh, is that why you want them to open their wallets for worldwide conservation?
Yeah, because he gives to, I think it, didn't one of them say they give to conservation or something? Which,
well, he said that he had the Rare Animal Fund. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I'm with you. I don't see that money going there. But yeah, they do funny cutting in this though too, because they just gross you out, right? They're like, here's a cow leg being ripped apart by three lions, and then it cuts to little babies playing with these little baby kitties.
Yeah, and then we hear a sad thing that basically the GW Zoo was part not just Joe's dream, but it was also his brother's dream. But then his brother was hit by a drunk driver on the way to Florida. Everything seems to always come back to Florida, even though this takes mostly place in Oklahoma. So, so because of that, he became like really passionate about like anti-drunk driving and anti-drugs and things like that. So Joe started to do all these anti-drug seminars, and no one really cared. He's going to schools, but no one would listen. So he started bringing the animals in because that would make people want to listen. So he had these like weird, like, don't do drugs, but let's look at the tiger also, like presentations.
Yeah, and so he starts pulling out all the stops and becomes a magic man.
Like, yeah, because the animals weren't enough. So he's like, and then I added magic. Like, what?
And then I added animals. Then I added tigers. It's like, oh my God. Wow, this is a lot for some drunk driving lectures, dude.
Yeah, so the reason how he was able to add magic is that he found some kid named J.P. Wilson, who's this child magician.
And he's like, hi, I'm JP. And they just show this like kid sitting on the edge of his bed holding a giant cat with spots on it. He's like, well, I need some magic, and Joe wanted to learn it. God, we had fun. What the hell is this? Can I watch it 24 hours a day?
It is so bonkers. Like, wait, I'm just getting used to Carol Baskin, and now all of a sudden we're in a magic show. So Joe has this, he creates something called the Mystical Magic of the Endangered Show. And so this is what spun out of those magic seminars, those don't do drug seminars. It became the Mystical Magic of the Endangered. And that's when he named himself Joe Exotic. And he then started doing shows in malls to be like, I got tigers and we're doing magic.
And then they cut back to his ex-husband and he's like, and that's when he changed his name to Joe Exotic. When we first started out, we were all crammed in a semi-truck just going from mall to mall. 14 of us in the cab of a semi. That was crazy.
With a tiger. And so then we meet Susan Bass, and she does PR for Big Cat Rescue, which is Carol's company. And so Susan basically would track down wherever this magical, mystical endangerment tour was going. And she would call the malls and be like, hey, don't do that. This is not good for the tigers. And she basically was a nuisance to him because she mobilized their followers to send in emails and tell the malls not to host this tiger magic show.
Yeah, and then it grew because animal rights and stuff. And so they went from like 500 emails to like 6,000 emails. And so they started getting shut down at every mall. And then it cuts back to Joe's camp, and he's like, yeah, that was our money for the winter, you know? And Kelsey's like, yeah, but Joe always found a way to make money.
Yeah, because at this time, that's when tiger selfies started to become really popular, I guess, with Tinder, etc. So Joe started offering people the ability to do tiger selfies, especially with the cubs, etc. And then we see like footage of Shaquille O'Neal going, and Shaquille O'Neal goes and like checks out the tigers, and he's like on NBA Live, and Shaquille's like, yeah, I went to the GW Zoo, shout out to Exotic Joe. I was like, this is bonkers.
And then we cut to Doc, who's showing all of his reel. He's showing like his reel on a big screen TV in his house, and he's like, you know what, rewind it, let's show the Jay Leno show. All right, let's rewind that. Might as well rewind back to Letterman, huh? Go back to Letterman. Let's show him Letterman. All right.
Yeah, and then he starts explaining what happened. He goes from this like, okay, yeah, let's go all the way back. Let's go all the way back. Here I am. I'm here on Jay Leno. Wow, look, we brought animals on. It was a wonderful experience. I was like, you fucker, because he totally puts on this different voice when he thinks they're starting to roll the camera.
Yeah. And he's like, yep, I'm a cowboy from a family of cowboys, and I moved to Yogaville. And then
I saw the power presenting the animals without cages. You could see them in their power and glory. And then I went to Hollywood and I made five gigantic international movies. Gigantic. And then we see like Ace Ventura,
Mighty Joe Young, yeah. Dr. Doolittle, Flonase commercial. You know, and the thing is that like, and by the way, when we see him as a child, there are all these crazy photos of him with animals, and there's one of him standing in this like LARPing costume with like two falcons on his arms. I'm like, it just seems like every 2 minutes this documentary just wants to throw something else bizarre. I'm starting to think that maybe it's all fabricated. They just had a bunch of costumes and animals that they wanted to put together in a movie.
And this is where we find out that you can make $100,000 per little cub, but then you can only use them for a few months, you know? And Carol's like, by the time people take 300-pound tigers, we have to get them. And there's no government regulation of private possession of big cats, which is crazy.
Isn't
that nuts?
Legitimately crazy. God.
We regulate everything but that. It's like, nope, you know, people can have lions, but...
Yeah, and that was the moment where I started to think, like, you know, I've been sort of like lulled into this pro Joe Exotic stance of like, you know, yeah, he's got the animals, but he's just trying to make ends meet. Is this the American dream? He's plucky. He's trying to make it happen. He's trying to follow his dreams. And then I'm like, wait, no, Carol, like, say what you will. Carol at least seems to have the proper perspective on this, which is like, this is crazy. There is no regulation. And she's trying to actually make a change for the better on some level, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like breeding little babies so you can make $100,000. And then what do you do with them after? And we haven't found that out with Joe yet, right?
Yeah, we don't know where it's going to go. But we do see a flashback of a town in Ohio. I had like pretty much forgotten about this. And like watching it, I had like glimmers. I was like, oh, yeah, I think I remember that. Of this guy who had this like wild animal farm with like bears and tigers and all sorts of crazy animals. And he just set them all loose.
18 tigers. They had a mountain lion, 18 tigers, a baboon. I mean, Jesus. And then we see the police, because the police had to take care of it. You know, he just let them loose for no reason. No one even knows why he did it. He just let them all loose. And so the police force has to go in and like start war with these animals. And it is so depressing. It's just like a shot of all these dead tigers everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's a shame. And those tigers, I mean, it's not their fault, but they were that. And that's why someone like Joe Exotic, why this is like not cool, because people can't handle it. These tigers, you know, could wind up in a situation where they have to be put down because they were mismanaged by humans.
Yeah, and this is definitely the part in the show where it turns like from, oh my God, what a fun show about like a crazy, wacky guy who just loves tigers, to, uh-oh. Joe, first psycho. we see all these dead tigers, which is obviously horrid. And then he's like, well, you know, if someone thinks they're going to take away my animals, this will be my Waco, because no one's going to walk in here and take away my rights.
Like, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's like, okay. And then, so then we meet a sheriff, this guy, Sheriff Rhodes, who says that he basically, I think he joined the force around this time, and it's like, immediately, it was just like nonstop issues with Joe. And essentially, because it was basically Joe was at a war with all these animal rights people, and he's saying things, he does like a PSA, and he goes, you're an animal rights person, and you try to come into this facility, this is what you're going to be greeted with. And he just, like, then you see his, like, husband, John, what's his name, John, just with a gun, just shooting at the water. I'm like, okay, this doesn't seem like it's in the spirit of love and big cats.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you know what struck me was when he said this would be Waco. I took that as a direct threat that we could have a shootout. Like, yeah, like, pretty much, sir.
You think?
And then it cuts to Joe going, this is my town. I'm the mayor and the sheriff and the jury and the executioner. Like, even the ice cream scooper. Need some ice cream? You come to Joe, right?
I'm the organ grinder. How about that? So then he had a pact with one of the guys who worked there, basically that like if anything went wrong, they were just going to shoot each other. I'm like, I feel like that's like maybe not a great thing for your LLC. Like maybe strike that from your mission statement.
We even got names on bullets for each other. Isn't that cute? What the hell? So then we then Carol Baskin gets support from PETA.
Yeah, and then to make matters
really
worse.
Then shit really starts to hit the fan, you know. And then we talk to Brittany, who I think it works with PETA, right? Brittany, yeah. Pete of PETA. I mean, isn't that a handy name?
Very, very on the nose.
Yeah. And so the Joe's camp is like, well, it's not like we beat the Tigers or anything, you know. And right. Then the other side is like, this is abuse. And Brittany's like, Joe's scary. He's always armed. Like, he's always got a gun. And then we cut to Joe, and he's like, yep, we've got 24 hours. We got people on the doors. Three of us have firearms. This has gotten bad.
Yeah, and the thing is that PETA people keep trying to sneak in and, like, take footage to build their case or whatever. And so there's all, as a result, there's just constant police reports from Joe to that sheriff because of PETA people. And we see this one PETA guy who's in there, and he's like, well, I was in here because people should know what's going on. And it's like such a PETA person, you know, like really just on the nose as like your stereotypical PETA dude who would break into a place to try to like sneak video. So basically there is this like crazy escalating standoff that is happening now between Joe Exotic and Carol. And then you got this guy Doc, who's kind of watching from the side because he's the one who actually seems to have the most money out of all of them.
Right. And then Joe's like, yeah, they're brainwashing people that we're abusing animals. And that lady's a hypocrite. She does parties, weddings. It's a moneymaker for her, too. And that's what I was saying at the beginning. I was like, this lady's fishy, too. Like, yeah. I don't buy her a holier-than-thou bullshit. She's basically just found a way to get the cats for free, and she's still profiting off of them, too.
Yeah, and she is basically, she has put a spin on it that she's a sanctuary. So then we see hordes of people in line ready to go in and see her cats. And of course she's charged them money for it, etc. And people are coming in and, you know, Carol's like, oh, I'm just so excited that people want to be here and save the animals. And we see these ladies who are all like, Carol is a hero of mine. And one lady goes up to her and says, I tell everyone that this is the Ritz-Carlton of animal sanctuaries because you're doing an amazing job.
You're going to make me cry. And then Rick, the producer of Joe TV, is like, in my opinion, Carol's just as bad. They're both making money.
Yeah.
And then Carol's like, well, they're always trying to upset me on social media. And then we see Joe's stuff. Oh my god, he's showing like a little tiny cage that the animal's eating out of at Carol's place, and he's like, how about that one with his head in a tiny cage, is that right?
He goes, I consider that bitch to be one of the biggest terrorists in the exotic animal world right now. I'm like, should there really even be an exotic animal world to begin with? How about that?
And then we see their media fights where she's made a website about him to get back at him.
Yes.
And she's like, if you go on the website, you can see we have undercover video of a cop biting a little boy on the face. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, I think it was called like tigerabuse.com or something like that. So and then she's trying to get this act passed called the Big Cat Safety Act, which would destroy private zoos, you know? And so Joe is furious, and so he's on his little TV show, which by the way does not look like a real TV show despite what Mr. Furley said. And he's like, you know what, for Carol and her other supporters, before you bring me down, it is my belief that you will stop breathing. I'm like, don't say those things on camera, sir. Jeez, don't do that.
No kidding. And shooting guns and stuff. Gee, Joe, I'm sure it was real rough for them to put you away in the end.
Yeah. And he makes jokes about like, here's two venomous snakes. We're going to mail these to Carol. And sure enough, one day she opens up her mailbox and it was full of snakes. Like, I would never open up a mailbox again if that happened.
Oh, no kidding. And so she's terrified, right?
Yeah.
And then he's furious. And then he goes to a gun store, discount guns. And he's like, 100 rounds, Johnny. And the guy's like, okay, well, is that it? Or you need some explosives today as well? Like,
why does anyone need explosives? Literally no one needs explosives. Unless you are in demolition.
And then we see that they have a mannequin to look like Carol that they shoot at for target practice. I mean, this show gets darker and darker. And this is only the end of episode 1.
This is like the episode where they just set up the characters. This is like I feel like we're not even in the story yet, right? Like, remember Making a Murderer? The first episode was just all backstory leading up to what the whole show was about. And so then it goes 4 years later, and it's like, this is a prepaid call from Zhao Exotic.
And he's like, I'm in a cage. You know why animals die in cages? Because their soul dies. I was like, don't you keep animals in cages?
Yeah, kinda. Do you realize that you're making a case for Carol?
Yeah. Like, he's like, I'm not going to be accused and go to prison and lose everything for things other people did. Before this is over, I'm going to shut down everybody.
Joe Tuck, King Tiger, the end.
So that's where we're at right now. We still have more episodes to go, but that, wow.
Wow.
That, wow. It was so bonkers. I was like, what is this crazy, crazy saga?
Well, we'll be watching, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode.
Yeah, let us know if you are also watching and weigh in. Leave a comment on Patreon or on our social media. Go to watchcrappins.com to see links to all of those. I guess if you're listening to bonus episode, you already know how to get to Patreon. So anyway, you guys have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you on the main show.
Bye.
Bye.
You.
Get ready for the return of the Kardashians.
Don't you know?
Kick off the weekend with brand new Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Hey You.
Oh my God!
The Kardashians.
Stream or download all new episodes the same day as the US.
Best reality show.
It's a perfect family on another level.
Download the app or visit heyyou.com to get your 1 month free.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Join me, Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore, as we help you through the lockdown.
It was quarantine date ideas, and the list was just Deliveroo or Uber Eat deliveries to each other's homes, online quizzes, iMessage game apps. It's like so depressing. I think I'd rather just be single.
Doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter where we are. We're just in boxes now. We live in boxes. Listen to The Luke and Pete Show every Monday and Thursday.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.